Channel One Over. I think this is the beginning of Channel One Over. I'm not certain. I've lost track. Channel One Over. I think this is the beginning of Channel One Over. Channel One Over. The beginning of Channel One Over, the visit with Everett, this Tuesday night, 15th of June, 1971. Channel One Over, beginning and continuation of the visit with Everett, this Tuesday night at supper, the 15th of June, 1971.
And his wife, in other words, that didn't look too good, you know. That beer mug sitting up there, in other words.
Well,
but she's pretty nice. I don't know what he is. I don't think he affiliates himself with any church. But she's a Presbyterian, so she's been down there and met Jack Hatcher's wife and old Wilshire Walker, you know, they're Presbyterian. One or two more.
Oh, really?
Presbyterian and McIntyre, see?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't
Jack's
know.
Wife gave me a big old bowl of ice cream the other evening.
Doesn't
that thing? And had bananas sliced up here, homemade, you know, one of these 6-quart electric churns. I pulled by then. They just gotten two in her way, so she went and got me one of them salad bowls and filled that thing up, about 40 cents worth. I said, what you must think I didn't have anything to eat. And I had a good down. Sister-in-law brought me down a good down. And I said, I can't eat all that. Oh, it won't hurt you. And old Billy Brown come up. You know what a monkey he is. Do you know him?
No, is he a monkey?
Yeah, he's a talking, he's a cat.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does he know?
Not much. He don't have to. He got it made. His daddy left him in good shape.
Yeah. Well, what did he talk about?
Oh, he's teasing me about all the widow women and all that kind of thing. He wants me to hook up with one of them. There's three or four of them loose over there yet. And they all got money and all that.
Yeah.
I get it. Them.
And he
keeps
after you.
Just keeps after me. But I've been knowing him. He's a little older than I am. I went to school, been knowing him all his life. He had,
really?
His sister and I were in the same grade.
Yeah.
Then his sister, Margaret.
Yeah.
But,
So you had to go back to Fred to get your
adjustment on the. And it's still in that.
So you didn't, have to, change the transmission?
No, just that housing. The back housing on the other one where that reverse is waxed on that lever.
Yeah.
If you ever seen one of them, it's got a catch. I think I told you like
a
dog.
Yeah.
You know, chain dog, you know, it catches your wire.
Cookie was afraid that if that was out of shape, the rest of it was too. You know?
But the forward gear all worked fine. Worked better than it does now. I told Fred now, I'd jump in a little bit. He said, well, it might spool off. You put the gas to it, it won't do like the old mobile. It's too kind of jerking. That's coming out of first to second gear. See, usually, though, unless you're in sand or something, while you put the thing in, might as well say like your automobile. You put it in drive. You don't hardly ever mess that low drive unless you get out in the field or something. But mine starts off, you know, with that 1-4. You put it in that 1-4, and it'll change itself, you know, with the gas.
Yeah.
Well, if you get in the field and you want to go slow, just put it 1-2, you know, and it'll crawl like a booming tractor in a low gear.
Oh, will it?
But when I usually put it in fourth, you know, unless I got a load on it, in other words. You know, a ton or something like that, to put in fertilizer in the field.
Yeah.
Then you go to feeding the gas, and it changes. But when you put it in that fourth, it'll change, you know, on other three gears.
Yeah.
Right. First, going in the second gear, it's a little rough, as I told him. I said, it wasn't that way before you fixed all this thing.
Yeah.
He said, well, that's what I was doing, adjusting. And he says, he jacked it up, in other words. And you tell it, you know, wheel, and you put it in reverse. But it don't lock anything like that. It backs up in there.
Just a little rough.
And just that one gear, it's a little rough in. But if you don't put the gas to it too hard, well, you don't notice it. But if you give it a little gas, now what is like the old model old mobile? That's the same. It's in the old model old mobiles in that pickup.
Yeah.
Anywhere from about a 50 to a 55 old mobile got the same transmission as what's in mine. A hydromatic, they call it. I want to call the thing the hydrostatic.
Yeah.
But Fred said it won't tear up anything, won't do anything. He said it'll smooth out. He said that's as good as I can get it. He said if I mess with it too much, then it won't pull. I said, well, I want it to pull. Because I'm planning on loading it down. Yeah, he wanted me to carry off full care for him. He got some full, pretty big yard that he wants me to carry off. And he said the market's gone back up. I said, how much? He said, well, about 30, 32 to 34 cents. Good calves. And he says they're big enough and the cow need to be weaned off of them. He said they're big enough to sell.
Yeah.
And he said, then you care for them when you pick them. I said, well, yeah, you care five of them. 1600 pounds.
Yeah.
In other words.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
But I told him, well, I'd care. He said, well, he thought he'd just get them off the cow and wean them. And maybe they'd pick up a little bit. He said, the hares in the pan gold either one are not doing too much. Lucille got more weed than anything else. She's fixing to pull out the Ohio again, and he can't make no deal with her. I said, well, I'm not working for nothing like I've been doing. I said, I'm letting my equipment stay on the shed. And last year, I was in the music, because I carried mine up there on Cedar Junior, you know, and we put up, you know, 25,000 bales, you know, Cedar and I did, and he finally went and bought that other big machine and traded his little one in, but mine and his both, you know, bale up that Cedar Junior.
25,000.
Yeah, and we sold a Swift, in other words, 150 tons. That's a lot of hay, 150 tons.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of hay.
And Cedar's been, had been wanting it, but he filled everything in the world he had filled, old houses and everything else.
Well, where in the world did you make the hay?
Cedar Junior.
Where did he have it?
Well, he got 1,000.
He got a lot of land lease, hadn't he?
Yeah, he got the land lease, and he got
one.
See, right there, you know where Clarence got his home? It's 200 acres right there in hay.
Yeah.
It's 200 acres there in one block.
Yeah.
That's a good deal of hay.
That's good.
And he fertilized, and he got some hay.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff get 5 or 6 tons an acre.
Yeah, Pangola.
That's Pangola, yes, sir. The hay, it done fair the first cutting, but the neck cutting, it didn't turn out too much. The first cutting, it done pretty good. Cutting with that hay bind, in other words, you got, let me see, you got about right around three tons of acre, the first cut. And the neck cutting, well, I didn't get about half that.
3 tons to an acre.
Yeah.
Put 400 pounds of
regular
fertilizer, and every time you cut it, well, then, like lightning down and all down there, well, they put the sweetener to it every time they cut it.
Yeah.
They fixing to start. But they sell some hay. They grossed $100,000 worth of hay last year. So
yeah.
That cow business just a little short out of their hay, what they make the money off.
Yeah. Well, how about that? Yeah, and hay don't, you have much trouble with them cows.
Oh, no. Of course, they having trouble with them calves now, tattooing them and keeping the rain and that proficiency testing, 140-day test, and
yeah.
University is still aggravated with him. But he finally got moved. He go over in that new home.
Yeah.
And the boy I got there, I didn't go to the wedding, I saw a pond boy. And he said, well, he said, the market just went bad. He said, I sent 380 crates up there to Atlanta. And I said, I don't know where I'm going to get 50 cents, a dollar and a half, or what. And he said, I just don't have an order for peas. And I said, well, I don't have a 4 crates left over. What the Ruby sold, you know, the people put in the freezer. And Ruby kept all those conks, and I really 2 crates to them. And nearly a crate of those cabbage pea.
Yeah.
I believe I picked one or two of them in looking that bad. You come across a white looking pea about that long?
Mm-hmm. That's cabbage.
That's a cabbage. You've seen, you probably
no,
seen it.
No.
But I picked one or two of them you to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I said, I ain't going to leave them here. You know, that consignment business, that's the thing of the past. You might bring them on back and pull them out from my cows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But where it is, Lawrence has done sold here for 2.5, see? And I told Jake, and he had a 6-pack of beer on the seat there. And I told Jake, I said, what time the man come? Oh, he won't come until late, 7 o'clock. I said, well, I'll be over here by 6 o'clock with the peas, what I have left, in other words, what Ruby don't use, in other words. So I had 4, and I come up there, Lawrence was paying them off. And I thought maybe, you know, back to pee, they got them across the road there down from the house where the pea patch is. And Lawrence had the colored people on his pickup. And he's paying them all. And I just, you know, at a night, if he's up there, I'd go into the field, you see. But I pulled his house that side of the road. And he said, Deb, says, Jake didn't tell me anything about you, you know, might have 3 or 4 crates. Says, Magalie. Said Magalie might have 1 or 2 crates of conks, and he wanted them conks. He'd pay 3 or 3.5 for those conks, like, you know, I brought you. They always, you know, a dollar more in black eye, you know,
oh.
The white pea, because they're not as plentiful.
Yeah.
And he said, the man had been gone about 10 minutes, and he going to old Doc Lyle's, or either he going to Delma Pond's shed to finish the load out.
Yeah.
Said, I didn't have a 48 crates. And all I had, and they didn't get through picking. The rain knocked, you know, cut them down a little bit, and they didn't get through. We had an inch of rain, you see.
Yeah.
And he said, it knocked them off for a while, and they went back. But he said, you could have put your right in there and got the 2.5 on them. With mine, because the man didn't have enough, and he'd go and fill out. So I beat it on over there, and I asked him, they hadn't seen the man. But that man, in other words, I think, in other words, he must have stopped it, maybe Doc Lyle's, and found a story out on it, in other words, and he was trying to buy him, you know, $1.75 or $2, in other words.
Yeah.
And I says, I can't leave him. I said, I don't believe I'm selling. I said, used to sell them, but I've been busy over there. And one year, you know, I started university. And Ruby turned it over to her, and she sold a good many of them, took care of the rest of it, and picked up $45, you know, and get the half of it back.
Yeah.
And so I sold
where'd you get people. All those hampers?
I sold one to the restaurant, sold one to old Carl Smith's wife.
Yeah.
Old hamper, I had the hamper bought for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But if you buy them now, they cost you about 50 cents. But yeah. You sell them to some people, well, you lose that.
Yeah.
And I'm hand now charging 60 and 75 cents for picking the thing.
Yeah.
So you got better than a dollar in them than the windmill. Your cow to get more of them, in other words, to go ahead and let the cow eat them. That's what Ernie told me last year.
Is that a cabbage tree?
No.
No, that's not.
No. And maybe one or two of them black eyed now. But
is that a black eye?
No, that's a conch.
This is a conch.
I believe
people like your arm.
I
believe that's the black eye. You can tell by looking at it. Yeah, that's the black eye. I put one or two vines there, you know, when I give out a seed, you know, and on the end of the row. That's the black eye, and you can tell.
People like your neighbor.
One or two of them in there, but those other are real white, those cabbage peas.
Okay.
I picked one or two, and they're kind of short. Mm-hmm. But the peas are white, kind of like that pump. But they're good eating.
People out in your part of the countryside, they're pretty well do. They all got bank accounts.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't care much money on them.
No, he never had any money. He got to write a check, and I always say, you got any money? I said, well, I always try to care a little bit. I haven't got too much, but you see me, I got a dollar or two.
Well, now, who are these people that they don't use banks? And if they want to pay their phone bill, they ride over to Hawthorne or down at the
Florida Power.
Yeah.
And pay it.
And pay it.
Yeah, well, that's the way the doctor do out there.
And just give them the money.
Yeah, give them the money.
Well, now, a lot of white folks do that, too.
Mm-hmm. But Fred, he didn't want to take no check. I said, I got a checkbook in the truck here. But I said, I got my check from Corky, nearly $200, you know. He'd pay check. And I says, I got a little bit of money, but I haven't got that much cash on me. And I says, I got, I think, $8 or $9.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to let you have that if that'll help you in other way until I'll see you the first of the week. And he said, well, he said, I got enough in other way because his wife had done been there, you know, and he had some money on him, you know, $10, $15, $20. And
yeah.
She going with her mama, in other words, in that old big Pontiac.
Yeah.
To Ocala to get some groceries, I reckon.
Yeah.
That Saturday. And he said, he's all right. And I said, well, I'll get it and give it to you. And I figured Alan Gibson wouldn't have it, but he didn't have it. And I asked Kitty, I said, Kitty, you got some money? No, he says, I don't have too much. But I said, I know who has got it. He says, who? I said, H.A. Geiger got it. He cashed all them welfare checks to them people,
yeah.
In other words, and he got the money. He
yeah.
had $1,000 there, in other words, to cash them checks, in other words,
yeah.
with, and they get them. Come on, H.A. said, yeah, I said, I'll cash it. That's all it is, $58, I'll cash it. So he gave it to me, and I bought some old loaf of bread. And
well, now, how does Frankie,
grits.
How does Frankie pay his light bill?
His mama pays it.
Well, how does she pay it?
I'll be dope, I know.
She gets in the car and goes over there and
I think so.
Hands
I believe,
the money.
I believe that's what the way they do, yeah, hand them the money. Of course, she gets her check, you know, and H.A. cashes her check. And she got the cash money.
So she,
Frankie cares, oh, what to pay the light bill. She pays it.
So she
it's
got
in her name.
She got the cash money on her all the time.
Yeah, she got the cash at the house.
Now, that's the thing about it, you see. And then you go all around this countryside, And you'll find people who do that, and all you've got to do is go down there to Florida Power over there to the telephone
mm-hmm.
office
and pay you
see who comes in and pays cash.
Yeah.
And then you can just go around the countryside whenever you want to.
And them people got the cash at the house. They got it on.
And
yeah.
catch them there by themselves and just help yourself.
But he never carried any cash. Sometimes he'd have $3 or $4 on him. But the other day, when I stopped down at coming back to that pup, I said, it's top of Lily. We can get the same meal we get trade rent for $1.45 to $0.65. We get it done at Lily's for $1.
Now,
on the dual highway, this side of Old Calumet, where O'Neill had his big place.
Oh, there.
Yeah. Place right across the road there. You know where the railroad and O'Neill had his all the equipment, all his road construction, and trucks and everything?
Yeah.
Just across the road there. Lily's place, they call it.
Yeah.
And they serve a country meal there. Well, up yonder the same way. That was a good meal there. The whole everything that was done. I made a glass of tea. I had about 3 big glasses of tea. It was hot, you know. And it wasn't $1.15, $1.25, all it was up there making open.
Yeah.
But Lily got it for $1. They said, now they give you beans, had some Ford Hook llamas, you know, fresh ones shelled out,
yeah.
and mashed potatoes and gravy. And I got a hamburger steak, and I think they got a 2 pieces of chicken, smothered chicken, you know, with gravy,
yeah.
you know, what you call it? I call it smothered, you know what I mean? It's kind of broil, I reckon, and gravy on top of it. And that's the kind of gravy they had on the mashed potato.
Yeah.
And anyway, he wanted the other vegetable, wanted tomato, and I think I got cow peas. I believe that's what I got, cow peas. And they give it to you in a sauce, you know, about like that. Shaped a little bit different. And anyway, got the tomatoes on it, and I got my peas in the salsa. And one with $1 in the tax, $1.03 or $0.04, and they didn't have any money, and he said, you got any money, I'll have to write a check.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I didn't the people take the check. Well, he said, you get it, and I'll just pay you for the, you know, hauling a pup. He didn't have no money to pay the gas. I got it down at Kmart. You know, you get those tickets, and you get 2 cents a gallon off, it's about 26 cents, I believe, what gas is down at Kmart. And I used to fill up and go. And I paid for that gas. It's taking, I think, about $3 worth of gas to fill it up.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll just write a check for all of it. Well, he'll come on back while he'll give me a check for $6. He said, that all right? Well, I told him it all right. But usually he hired that color boy, you know, get it. He charged him $8, you know, to bring the ton, a ton and a half, or whatever, you know, brings.
Yeah.
He got a 3/4 ton GMC. But I didn't hear it figured me, in other words, well, he'd get it, you know, just expensive. Well, I bought $3 worth of gas and paid for his dinner. It was a little over $1. That's $4. So I just got a couple of dollars, you know, just for the time going down there picking it up, see? But those fellas and I, they have to back it in there, push it in there backward, in other words. Them boys laughed about that. And the vehicle had to push it. I said, well, it makes me feel good that I even got something to ride in. Now, he said, you tracked them right over the highway with them. But I'm not too much to get on one of my tractors and driving over during the highway, pay road. And I told Larry, I said, we got to be careful now. I said, they're going to push this farm emblem law, in other words, on you.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have them all that business on all on that thing and have your lights and everything, you know, fixed on the thing if you're going to drive you late in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I said, we got to get some sticker thing. This farm bureau, they don't give them to you. You got to buy it with everything. They card money for them, too. And I said, I had one from a big truck, but I don't know, a tractor, but I don't know where it is. It was the kind, you know, just stick it on the, I believe where the little tail light was. You stick it down in it, in other words, on the fender. Used to have lights, you know, but they done been knocked off now. I don't know yours, did you get lights on the fender of yours?
No.
Back one?
No.
Mine used to have, but then knocked off. It got lights on the front.
Yeah.
But I don't believe they're burning, because I don't drive one at night. I'm going to get enough of one in the daytime without driving a tractor at night. But both of them got lights, you know, on them, and the A model got a big light in the back, in other words, that used to have a single plow. You could turn land, you know, and put that little kind of a spotlight, turn it right on the fur, and where your plow is, and you see what it was doing back there once in a while, see? Because it's right back of you.
Yes, that's
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah.
You could just go all through the night.
Yeah, go on through the night, in other words. in your front tire. You know, it'd stay in the rut. It wasn't no trouble to hold it in the rut. In other words, of course, you had your head, but it would stay in that rut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what's opening up now? The watermelons.
Yeah, it's in full bloom. Dick wanted to help down, but I ain't gonna fool with helping them that bunch. Dick put it cutting mine.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm gonna bother with the melon.
Do they have enough?
They fixing to start. Yeah, he got 1,000 acre down in Circle Square. 1,000 acre of melon. That's enough fool with it. He's interested in. Of course, other people bring them to him. But Bob wanted that color band out to cut them and. We went over the other afternoon, he called Martin and told him about to come over there and went over and well, he studying until his hand had you know Bob Becker?
Uh-huh.
You don't know him, he stutters. Said John Lee, $20 from him and passed on by and went down at unemployment and wanted to know, you know, if how long he'd been working for me and wanted to know if I had employment insurance on him and I told him no. I didn't have one, and I wasn't. He don't work just part time, and I didn't have to carry it on him. For him to go and after the Claude there, who aren't people in other words, where he been picking oranges. If he laid up and he wanted to get some money for him, he dragging 1 foot, and about half drunk, so he said.
Yeah.
And he said he owed me $20, and said, I got to go to town and get some parts. Don't have about 2 or 3 jobs in to work on in this shop. Nobody do the work and got to go and get some parts and I'll be gone about 2 or 3 hours. Well, I told him right quick. I couldn't wait around there no 2 or 3 hours going to look at a patch of watermelon and see if he's ready to cut. And wasn't going to get nothing part. I was straight with him, see. I wasn't no important executive or president or nothing. But I wasn't that hard up, you know, for a job because I can get a job any time. In other words, no question got getting a job.
Well, now,
said, no, he says, I'm not taking either. And he finally said,
Where was that?
Right at Bob Becker filling station.
Yeah, yeah.
I come over to the dock and he got a Chevrolet automobile,
yeah.
Right new one.
Yeah.
And he said, it's right over. He said, he called me and wanted you and I to come over and look at the watermelon and thought he'd have to cut them. And that's when he'd asked me about, you know, if I had a truck. Well, he wouldn't bother with his truck. I'd just, you know, go ahead and get a crew, you know, haul them, you know, and put them on a truck.
What's Cookie going to have to do to that truck to get
it? He got another motor now, and he's going to just slip right in there right quick. That motor's froze up, he said. Now, somebody, I'd be afraid a car said you might be able to take the plugs out and just pour some brake fluid or skunk oil or something in there, you know, something that's penetrating, kind of a penetrating oil.
Yeah.
And let it set overnight or a day or so, in other words, it might
break
it loose, yeah. Might break it loose. Yeah. Which it might. But Cookie taking the crank, you know what, and about to bend it, you know what, he's pretty strong.
Yeah.
He said, now if that boy of mine had one, he'd have bent this crank. He's strong as a jackass, that boy is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And he healthy looking?
Yeah, he's a buck. Yeah, he is that. Yeah.
So he got to slip in a new
motor. He got another motor he bought for $45, and the man said it was in good shape.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. And he said, I'm just going to be quickest, put that in and slip it in there, see?
Yeah.
And he said, and I get a little time while then I'm going to freeze that, you know, take the pan, the head off of it, in other words, and loosen the piston and see how the rings are. And see, the rings is what's holding it, I imagine. They done probably rusted, no oil or nothing got into them.
Yeah.
Then he says, that, and I'll have another motor, in other words, if something happened with it, I'll pay $45 for. But it's just like the one I have, a Chrysler motor, 47 Chrysler motor.
Well, now, he's going to put that out in the watermelons.
Yeah, that boy is going to start with it right away. It's got the sides on it and all. I gave him his rod and the tailgate. All he got to do is put a little more hay in the back end of it and put that rod right there and let him throw them up there and stack them in there.
Yeah.
Load it down.
So he didn't get it running over to a place.
He bought his tow bar and pulled it, in other words. Then the tire, well, the boy wouldn't let him have that tank. And had to take one of the duals off, put on the front, one of the front tires about half flat. And he wondered if he could put it, you know, make it open before he got air. I said, no, I believe he's ruined that tire. Well, this truck's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Well, all that little truck of his said, you know, do to pull it out under the shed. And I told him, it looked like I wanted to get my big tractor and pull it out. And he's bagging on that full-speed transmission, that Ford, but wasn't no weight on it. He was just spinning the wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
And that boy told me to pull it, and he'd push. You know, maybe he could push more than I could. I said, this was pushing him heavy much. I said, jump at a time or two, in other words, and get it out of these holes, you know, where the back tire is set, and then it'll go.
Oh, yeah.
So it's finally got it out of there, and the boy had the tow bar on there when he come. Of course, he had to get his wife, she had to get groceries and pick up somebody and Hawthorne, this, that, and the other. It was kind of late, and he got there that evening, and it looked like it was going to come like, well, the season rains. So he said he'd be back the next morning. He tried to get the air tank from somebody and pump that tire up. Well, he couldn't get one. That's when he brought the jack to jack up the front and the door. You know, you take off one of them. So he'd taken off one of the doors and put up there and put the one that was slack in the back of his pickup. And he tore out with it. And the boy got in that old big car here and towed that thing in overdrive. And he'd taken away like a scared rabbit in an automobile. And you throw the car to pull a big car that is. Well, it'll take off and go. And that boy gunned it, and that thing taking off like a hot rod.
Oh, he gunned it?
Yeah, he gunned it. And he said, that's the reason I don't turn my car over to him. He'd tear it up.
Yeah.
I was like, cook it up.
Yeah. Well,
I said, he's not by himself all that way. They want to see what one will do.
Yeah.
And I said, he had rode not too good. At me slip it and knocked those arms on his tie rods underneath there. It's lower than really the pan. And I said, now if it went down low enough, got one of them flint rocks on that pan underneath there, you'd have something in, like that man running the stump and bent the axle. Sprung the axle on it and messed up all the power steering, in other words. One of the Fred and them, you know, had, I said, not hardly, not a newer model of this. He got the old power steering job, the old big car, the old Mobile 98s and Pontiacs and that kind of stuff, you know, the older model.
Yeah.
But I says,
oh, yeah, that new
he probably got a Cadillac and a Lincoln power steering, in other words, over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of late model, but I said, not for this little car here. I said, that thing there is special. That little Nova 2, it hadn't been out for just 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
I think they call it Nova 2, a Chevy 2, or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Got the air conditioning, all that power steering on it. So I cut Aaron and I out of having the car. And I said, well, how about asking her for a Continental, that Lincoln? No, he said, I don't want to ask Helena, her name. I don't want to ask Helena for Continental Lincoln.
Yeah.
But he said, I tell you, she'll cash to get her something to eat.
Yeah.
If I ask her, I said, well, I'm going to ask her. I said, we're going down to your house and fix a sandwich, get a soda water, and find something to eat on without getting something out of the deep freezer or already frozen and have to cook it. But they had beans and stuff, you know, peas, they canning up and stuff. Heated up a little something.
Well, now, Saturday morning when they come, you was there.
Yeah, uh-huh. I told them that I'd be around until 10 or 11 o'clock before I left.
Yeah.
So
he
got there about 7 o'clock.
Oh, he moves
he got there about 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And they left the pickup there. You know, the first evening after, you know, started to mist and rain like it is now.
Yeah.
Because he said he didn't want to be on the road and he'd go in the shortcut and head on out, see.
Yeah.
But I don't know how does he go? Did he come through this way or did he go around the other way or how does he go? Go to his house?
I think he goes through Rochelle.
Goes through Rochelle or goes through up here by his, making over Cross Creek?
He probably goes
that way, Cross Creek. Turn that, make it over, and go straight on out across the road where that man got a new, you know, where that fence is.
Right.
Go that road.
The river.
Hit that Johnson station over there. Then go on in the where he lived.
Oh.
Well, does he live this side of Hawthorne?
No, he lives just over the over there overhead.
Just over the overpass, on the left or right?
Right.
He does?
He got a chain fence around him.
Well, he got a little farm in there.
No.
He had.
He got several acres. he bought that at the right time, and there were several acres with that, and it all backs up on that nice lake. Nice lake back there. Back out.
Well, it's not past the cemetery, is it? Is it past the cemetery on the right?
It's got a couple of houses from the overpass.
It's not past that antique house, is it?
No.
Before you get that antique shop, isn't it?
I don't know.
And
the doctor or something got a place down there, got a sign, you know, down there on the lake. He's just out of there. You said just one or two houses just over the overpass.
He's
right on the edge of town, isn't
he?
He's
on the main.
Well, that's a big lake. He's on the edge of it, then, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I fished that with old Sid Martin.
Oh.
Yeah, old Sid Martin. Then I went out with old James Phillips. You know him?
Mm-hmm.
James Phillips, he run that co-op, Swanee store, they call it then. I think he's still running that Swanee store, grocery store, kind of a chain.
But, everybody
said I handled a little watermelon, and we loaded that, you know, where you see that lake, and I mentioned it, and he said, yeah, he said, bang your rod and reel, and said, we'll try them one evening.
Yeah.
I told him, all right, I said, how about Saturday? He said, we'll round up these watermelon around noon, and we'll try them Saturday after dinner. He said, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
So then we went out to old, that's his brother-in-law, old Phillips, that married his sister. Philip married the old big town commissioner, married his sister. Around his house, and they had a good meal, you know, had butter, beans, and peas mixed together.
Yeah.
Cooked, you know, and ham hock, you know, mixed with them, and iced tea, and fresh made cornbread, you know, and a little roll, a little baker thing like that.
Yeah.
And had a little sugar in them corn muffins.
Yeah.
And that was really good eating, I'm telling you. But,
Could you make anything at working with Dick Whittington down there?
Not too much. Aggravation and the ride, in other words, I don't like that. And the people, dealing with people now, they get where they're harder to deal with. And I don't care too much about it. You got to telephone another half hour, and you got to do a good bit of riding. And Dick said, well, says, you don't want to, what's called a field man. Don't want to be a field man, says, that you be the superintendent of the sheriff. I said, well, that's just as bad. I just came off of a job, you know, and I had plenty of headaches in there.
Yeah.
People working, put up with all that.
I don't believe that would be as rough down there as it was over there.
No, it probably wouldn't.
Because these colored people down here, they're pretty civilized.
Yeah, they're not what's called migratory too much. Now,
no.
You see the Cuban and all, they migratory. That's the one that they're in trouble with. And of course, some of these younger ones, you know, they kind of bigger than smart. Like that boy said, he got in a fight today. Showed me his big fish, you know, and he got a bomb on him bigger than mine. And he says, I hit him and said, I might have cracked his jaw. So they hit that coon. And I said, what? Claude DeRuca. Well, they got all the laws and cops and everything. I said, you call your daddy? No, I didn't interfere with him with the job. I said, they're taking care of it. And got a sort of question. He said, you're going to put me in jail. I said, what are you going to put you in jail for? I disturbing the peace. And that's when he told me that he disturbed the peace, and you know, when he hit that coon, you know, he fist in the jaw and like to broke it.
Yeah.
And I said, what's the start over? I'll be a boy named Frankie, or Frank or something, man. What is his boy name? He ain't like his name Frankie, is it?
Well, who are we talking about?
Cookie's boy.
You mean he's been disturbing the peace?
Yeah. Got in a fight at school with the niggers. They had a
Frankie?
Free fall. Yeah, I believe it. Isn't that that boy's name?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he tell me about it. I said,
Franklin.
Yeah.
Franklin.
Frankie, I believe that's what I believe you got. That's what I think you're telling me what
it was.
Well, no. And I said, that's where his daddy comes. See, he said, he's coming on, but he had to get mama and get this and that. And that's when he had to go by a grocery store, you know. And she had to spend the money, you know, for grocery. Somebody else was with him, and some of our eating her people or something.
That's on Friday.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Friday evening.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to come, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday. But he got tired up on the job and everything happening, and I think that gal, his daughter, I think, graduating, and this Henderson, in other words, getting her $35 or $50 dress, you know, evening gown, that would wear one time and hang it up in the closet and let it rot, all that kind of business.
Yeah.
But that's the time for you now, you know how it goes. Yeah. Anyway, I talked to the boy and I asked him, he seemed to be a pretty friendly fellow, and he kind of took me in, and I said, well, what was it called? Well, he says, no girls, white girls, says, the nigger wanted to associate with them, says they want to borrow some money from them. And they wouldn't let them have it, and they kept on molesting them. You don't want to borrow them money from a white girl to buy them soda water, a candy, a cracker, a potato chip, or something. And they told them they wasn't going to lend them any, to go on and leave us alone. Said, wouldn't do it. And he said, ask one of the girls what it was, and that's what she told him. He yelled at the thing and said, just wait a minute. I think I'm going to do something about it. Well, instead of him seeing the principal of law or something, he go and see them other boys. You know how these teenagers are now. He sees his buddies, in other words. And they're setting on goal, you know how the friction is in there.
Oh, my God.
And they come back and they want to go to doing their hymn. That's slugging. Now, that's when he said that they had them overpowered, you see. And they went and got some more help, in other words. And he said that 1 or 2 hours went and got some more. And they wound up by there must have been about 25 or 40 of them into it. And that's when the law, you know, come.
Yeah.
And he's the one that was doing the slugging, and he hit one of them, you know, and gave him a pretty good jaw in the jaw, and he said he might break it, you know. And that's when you're talking to him, and he says he chastened and said something that I didn't like, and he said right there before the law, I let him have some more of it.
Right there before the law.
I said, what to do then? So they pulled us apart, in other words, and that's when they're talking about you're going to arrest me. And I said, what for? He said, disturbing the peace. And he said he wasn't disturbing the peace. He kind of straightened them coons out and messed with them white girls. Yeah, wanted to borrow money from them, in other words.
Yeah.
And he didn't like that. And he got his buddy in there when they went to have the free fall. I said, you didn't call your daddy? Oh, no. He don't know it yet. I don't know whether you told him or not. You haven't seen Cookie in the last few days.
No. Cookie's
sort of,
he's quick on a draw, too.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, he's been ready to fight, too. He don't like anybody.
But he said, quick, in other words, he
sure didn't want to get in that union. He said, knew, in other words, they understood. And I said, yeah, that's what my brother did. And they jumped him from about $2.17 an hour to about $4 and something an hour.
Yeah.
You know, he had to pay his men. And they wouldn't do anything, in other words. And he called me down and he says, I got this job and they want to plaster. They want to go ahead and plaster the building. I got to get this duck in there. And he says, you can do it. I know you can. He says, let's go over and we can do it in about 2 hours. And it's 9 o'clock then, you see. And in time we got the stuff loaded on the truck and we've gone over there, you know, all the way over to Love Island, you know, across the cold where that Clearwater, where it was, where they pumped that sand out and built a nice home there, in other words, and that where he putting all that air conditioning heating stuff up in the ceiling. And I looked at the job, I didn't know anything about that kind of work, but I wasn't no dummy, you know, and I knew it, we know we'd finish it by noon, 2 or 3 hours. And then figured it could, and we didn't. So we got sandwiches over there, you know, at the little curb hop, you know, at the beach, you know, where the people lay out in the sun and get a suntan and put all that oil, you know, all over them. They would keep them getting blistered. And let Mother Nature, you know, give them a tan, they call it, you know. And then some of them get cooked. It's pitiful to see some of them conditioned to get in.
Yeah.
So we ate one of those quart of root beers and got two hamburgers and ate that and went back to work. And taking about 2 more hours to finish it after eating. And then he said, well, we go back and get all our equipment and be ready to go, you know. It's about 6 o'clock, and we get on across the bay there, you know, and going up in them creeks, you know, and it won't have to be too dark for our mother to be wanting to come out of there. And he says, they come out so fast, they jump and hit you in the stomach, knock you out of the boat if you don't watch them.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll catch them if they come at me. And we pull up in them channels, you know, and tide, you know, start coming out, and the mullet come out of there. Once in a while, a darn pauper will come out of there, and he'll turn the boat over. If you don't watch him, you don't get out of his way or give him room, he'll turn the boat over when I'm paupers. You know, like a dog gonna hit with potiphar just about. That big thing, you know.
Yeah.
They can part the water like a submarine, boy, too.
Yeah.
So I told him all right, and the next morning, went down to the shop, and it's bought what he's in business with. His wife was a bookkeeper, and he had me a check wrote out, in other words. And he's paying me a union scale, too. Told me I might well have it examined, in other words. Said, done been figured, the job done been figured. And said, you and I done more work than if we'd have sent four over there, was on the union, to have done it. Well, I worked, in other words. I handled a staple gun, and he, you know, come along and set the joint, in other words, and got the curve, you know, figure, in other words, and got the little, you know what, you get hammer and nail, and I would tack it, you know, make you bend, you know, when you're running that duck. You've seen that stuff, you know, in a tube, and you put that stuff over it to hold the heat in, and then
yeah.
Your, the cool air, you know, your air conditioning, in other words, in the summertime, have both units out of the same duck. And I didn't much want to take it. I said, yeah, you might as well take it, so I kept it. But he finally dissolved a partnership, and he got out of the thing. He had a chance to get a little bit of money out of it and make a little, and the company gave him another old truck and an old car, you know, to kind of run around with, old car, and kind of a figure on little jobs, and an old truck, you know, to keep the tools and stuff in, kind of like these carpenters and all got, you know, with a shell, you know, with the scissors and cutters and benders and all that, you know, in the drawers of it. But he didn't stay quit long. They called him back, and he's still working. But they just got back there in Massachusetts, went up there. His wife's brother got her brother's dying of that cancer. He got that bone thing like Maxa, and it's eating him up.
Yeah.
And they done worked on him and cut on his bone and everything. And then after it left his bone, then it went into his vocal cords, you know, where now he can't talk.
Well, Eric, you didn't plan on getting into the watermelons anyhow.
No, I didn't, because I had something to do. I told Eric about this woman. Now, she wanted to, you know, work the thing just like everybody else. Well, I said we'd work the hay with her, and I had people that would, you know, haul the hay and would put it in the barn. But I said, this business you and I are working ourselves to death with a trailer and my pickup truck and this, that, and the other. I says, I'm too old to be working that hay like that. I'll bale it. I'll rake it, and I'll bale it.
Yeah.
And I'll get some help to pick it up, and they'll put it in the barn for 12 cents a bale.
Yeah.
And if she wants to do that, all right. If you don't, well, let her do like it did last year. She paid 42 cents, and they done it all. If she wants to do that, well, she can do that, 42 cents a bale. I said, we'll do it that way if she wants to do it that way.
Yeah.
But it'd be a little cheaper for us to go ahead and handle it and let... We'll take half the hay, and her half will be left in the field, and she'll have to pay the men that puts our half in the barn for 12 cents.
Yeah.
And we'll have our half, and we'll handle ours. We have somebody do it. That's the way Lightning done here, and they opened it out. But he said, well, she don't like the idea of her having to furnish all the fertilizer. I said, well, if she don't, why let her go and buy the hay? If she wants to, go ahead and buy 1,000 or 2,000 bales of hay for the 150 head of cattle. But she won't do it like that. I said, it won't make me mad. It don't matter. It won't make me mad.
She just called the play.
Yeah, just called the play. But I says, the idea of me doing it, I said, hey, there wasn't anything in it. I said, you got to overhaul one of these things. And I said, 10 cents a bale, ain't nothing in it. Using your equipment now, and them things cost money. And I said, you know what? And take 2 years, it's taking 2 years to pay me. And this man that got it last year, she paid him $800 a check when he got through.
Yeah, she didn't pay you.
Taking the 2 years to pay me.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gave me $50, you know, when she get a check from the school, you see. She's driving the bus then, you see.
Well, who is that?
She's driving the school bus. And she worked the lunchroom and drive the bus and worked the school, you know, see.
Yeah, and still got 150 head of cattle.
Yeah, and she got to get the money from the government for them children, you know. That was in the insurance plan or something. And the stuff she had, when her husband died, that canceled that. It just rolled off the books. You're like bad debts, you know. You talk like bad debt, you know. You write it off the book, you forget about it. Supposed to. And that was her debt. What she owed, in other words, why it was written off the book. That big M farm all is, I think, $1,100 owed on it. And the $200-$300 owed on the little tractor she had.
Oh, the insurance did all that.
Yeah, just straightened the whole works out.
Oh, that's cheap insurance.
Oh, yeah. Then on top of that, while down then, while she gets paid so much, the little kids, you know, is left that under age, you see.
Yeah.
There's two of them, the boy and the girl. The girl, I think she graduates this next year, I believe.
She lets you hold the bag for another year.
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah, 2 years.
And then paid
that.
Well, now, look.
And I told him at 10, I told her.
Who
told,
is she and where she live?
Well, she's a cousin to... the girl, you know, Johanna's wife.
Oh.
I mean, her husband and Johanna's wife were first cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their mothers were sisters.
Well, where is she?
Lucille?
Where's her place?
It's on at church. You know where the Methodist church is? Turn that Grazer Road. And she owned 400 or 500 acres up there. Got 150 head of cattle.
You go down there to the Methodist church and turn?
This side of the Methodist Church.
At Shiloh?
Yeah. You know, one house, two houses, one on each side of the road.
Yeah.
The grass field, you know, that started the barbed wire fence around. He wanted me to put the fence up.
Yeah.
But then the boy got drinking beer, and somebody said, you won't get your money putting up that fire strand. I think here's his fire strand.
Yeah.
And he started putting it up, you know, fencing that. It's right. Coastal Bermuda, about 20 or 25 acres. And that graded road right that side there. Just follow it on around, then you come around there. And there's two houses, one on each side of the road, and she owns both the houses.
Oh, is she? What's her name?
Lucy Gladden. Lucy Gladden.
Oh, yeah. Lucy Gladden.
Yeah.
Now, how long you known her?
I knew her when she was about 12 years old, 10 years old.
Yeah.
She's an orphan girl, making open. That boy, you know, started going with her, and she got slipping out when she was young.
Yeah.
Miss Graham raised her, Hoyt Graham's wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Hoyt, you know, he tied on them. There were Louise wanted to get out among the boys and girls, you know, and have a little fun.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to get out.
Yeah.
Hoyt, he'd get out, but he didn't want her to get out.
Yeah.
Hoyt go out with them young girls, in other words, but he didn't want that girl to go out. Then finally, over at Harvey, he flipped out and married her. Got out from under. Brought out then. He got three children by, and then that cancer carried him out. He's 49 years old when he got him. But she got three children, the girl married, and the girl graduated this year, and the boy, he's only about, I think he's about 11 years old. He's in the 4-H, in other words, FFA or 4-H business.
What happened to Willie when he sold that timber? And couldn't collect from the man.
I don't know whatever happened. He got a little of it and they cut it off, just like my sister-in-law did. You know, had the junior horn in court and got three payments of $50 apiece, and it cut off and he couldn't do any more.
Yeah.
And Willie about the same way with the timber man. Now, Willie let him get by, I think, Willie. He'd give a sad story, and Willie was just easing, tender-hearted, and went by a certain length of time, and
well,
the court
why would
didn't
he
do anything about it,
caught in anything like that?
Well,
the
I,
man going
yes,
off and
him,
getting the money, and he wasn't getting any of it.
Business judgment, I reckon. Managerial ability, whatever you want to call it.
Well, when the man went out and sold the timber, Willie could have got his part of it.
Yeah. But the man used it for his benefit. He bought a car, in other words, and fed and clothed his family.
Right.
That's
there,
what he said.
And lived right down to Willie's nose.
Yeah. But he said he waiting on the man on the morning. He stopped there, you know, and he... They tell him, said he didn't have to sell that timber. He'd offer $40,000, I think, for it, or something like
Willie?
That.
Willie?
Yeah.
That's a new growth. How long has it been? 10 years since he cut it?
That other man didn't cut it all. He stopped him. He cut part of it.
He
cut him off.
Cut a little
yeah,
of
he
it.
Didn't cut no more of it.
No.
But now then, he got the timber in there.
Yeah.
Joined my place over there. There's a world of timber. I sold the timber off of mine, I think, twice. If hey, Willie had anything cut on here, mine been sold twice. Yeah, on my place. I can sell it again on mine.
He just slipped up. He just let the man who do it.
But Willie's selling her, like Geiger said, of course it's all right. Willie can get somebody to do it, but he got that boy from Fairfield, that Mack boy.
Yeah.
He's got a right new Ford, a Chevrolet truck, and a chainsaw, and everybody wanting to make a little money at Pupwood, you know. And if you can, they beat you out of your Pupwood and get a little block timber and carry it and get a little veneer strip. And they get money for that, you know, but you take pupwood, you know, it ain't nothing unless you want to clean something. Well, I know you can bother with it. It's just
you've
nothing
got
to it. $8 or $9 a cord, or whatever you call it, a unit.
You gotta buy enough to throw a big trailer before you get in there.
But Willie's going to get him a fence up. He's going to fence all that 133 acres here today, you see. Most all of us in woods. You seen what little bitty he got there in the color racing and he got that man to come up there and he said, here come the man now. I got to go, boys. See, Ayer and Willie ride together. And I teased Ayer about Willie being his supervisor and boss man and all that. And Willie doesn't like that. Ayer doesn't like that.
Yeah.
But Willie done told the boss man and he must have, you know, got in with him or something about that Saturday and Sunday work.
Yeah.
Willie just wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
But some of these jobs, you got to work a chain shift over to somebody and do it. But Willie been so far able to get along without taking any of that blunt, you know, that Saturday and Sunday business.
Ayer has to take it.
And Ayer's got to take it.
Yeah.
And that's when I tease, you know, and it just makes the, you know, the nerve, you know, a little more tighter, taunt. But really clean the right away, the man just cutting enough timber for him to put a fence. I said, what you going to do about them stumps? Bill, just put the barbed wire over them pine stumps? Well, I reckon so. I said, why don't you get the bulldozer and just let the bulldozer man do like that route, clean the right away, push the pine trees up while they're standing, then cut them, you know, sell the timber after, push them up. That's the way the Whitehurst done up yonder. And I said, the pine stump, it's kind of hard to push after you cut it down. You got to have that leverage, in other words, to kick it on over and get the tap root out.
Yeah.
Well, it's regular, Willie's just going to leave them and let them rot out, in other words. If he's going to put the barbed wire, you know, over it, they'll try to get holes down, in other words. But,
well, I was over there the other day.
Had he started with it right away? I ain't been through that.
And Frankie said, no, he had to go over and help Willie. They had to get some stumps out of the way so they could put a fence in. And I didn't ask him what he's talking about.
That's it. Well, I didn't even go cut the thing right at the ground or rigging with another chainsaw already.
I guess.
But, I haven't been back there. I told Eddie, I said, you been down and checked on your superintendent? Yeah, no, I haven't been back that way either. I haven't had no way except on the tractor, and I wasn't no drive back there, you see. It's not a
well, look,
half, 3/4 mile down the road.
I'm out of Willie's league.
But
I didn't know how far out of his league I had got. But see, Willie got a plumb thing. If he builds a fence, he wants it, you know, level. And if he gets a bale of hay, he wants it squared at the end. And you see this shed of mine out there, it's about this big in the ears in the front, and the back is about that. Nobody ever noticed it unless I called attention to it. But
Willie saw it.
Willie didn't see it. He didn't look.
He didn't.
No. And he don't respect anything of me anyhow. But you see, I'm out of his league. And if he put up a shed for me, he gonna plummet.
That's right. It'll be. What have you seen his shed?
Yeah.
Now, it taken him 3 times what it ought to, but he got a good shed.
Yeah.
But as you say, Bill Anderson and I built that in the mine
where
I got that big truck on there.
Oh, you got a shed there.
And we done a pretty good job. It ain't 2 inches off, but you can't tell it at all. Only thing, now, I told him, now, when we pulled an eaves in, we got to put the roof in. I told Bill, but Bill was supposed to have been a carpenter. I got him on in the carpenter, and he rolled with me, and he's on the truck, in other words, when the man pulled and lied, Bill... The man told William and Cecil Pardee at all three of us lied. Said, don't you fella tell me I'm the law.
Yeah.
And that's when Bill says, that's like he wants to use that backjack on somebody, don't he? Well, it's bad. In other words, you take a man, you can't talk to the law. In other words, he got the law on his side.
Yeah.
But the three of us against him won, and he told me, he said, a little truck, I had 2 big trucks in. I had 2 cars. Had a Model A and a V8.
Yeah.
And I had a pickup, see? And these 2 big trucks I was working in Camp Blanton. I left one of them up there and one of them a haul a hand back. And Bill Anderson lived on the other side of Willie and the party boy selling the produce out there. He was up in the front seat. And that man told me right there in Stark, you know, with this side of Stark, the railroad there, just a short distance.
Yeah.
He said, he pulled up and pulled out the siren, you know, and I had to pull over off the road, you know, and he stopped behind me, you know. Walked on out, you know, big man come on up there with a big gun and a stripe on him. Said, you know you making 55 miles an hour when you cross that railroad? And I said, no, sir, I wasn't making 55. He said, don't tell me that. That's same as telling me I'm a liar. Well, I didn't think about it, in other words. I wouldn't have told him, but I wasn't going no 55 miles an hour. I was telling the truth. And they always told me, you can't say anything against the truth.
Yeah.
And about that time, them 2 men were sitting there right there with me. And they could see the speedometer. It had a speedometer. But the thing had a governor when it said it 55. And I had 40 men in the back end of the thing, you see. And no way possible me to hardly get in high gear. I don't get up that much with a big truck. I'd have been one of these hot rods. These big old 400-some-odd cubic engine automobile to build.
Yeah.
And they said, no, he wasn't doing it. And he got after them, you see. Well, I said, well, we into it. Now I said that to myself. I just knew he was going to fine me, you know, $35, $50.
Sure.
He'd tell me to go to court. And
yeah.
I went to court. Why, you ain't got a ghost.
No.
You won't have a ghost of a chance.
No.
But he just wrote me a ticket, in other words, and let me get by. But said, don't let me catch you again. But he said, I'll throw the book at you. Well, he's smart again, you see.
Yeah.
And them boys said afterwards, said, that Bill Anderson, he's hot-tempered anyway. He said, that's a smart aleck ride, isn't it?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, that's the way you see some of them. I said,
right. Come on.
That's what they're having trouble with them now, in other words, in a lot of these cities, in other words, they overbear, in other words, and the people don't respect the law, and that's the reason of it.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate that. telling me, in other words, don't tell me that same, tell me I'm a liar. Well, I wasn't a spiritual word, but I was driving the truck, and my truck and the gun was set on it. And I told Cook it sat on that one now. About 55 miles an hour. I said, going downhill, it will get right close to 60. If you load it over, it'll push it. It'll climb on around that close to 60.
Yeah.
But I said, the reason of that, if you're on the Carolina, you get on that mountain, if you didn't have a gun on it, why, they'd turn it over and kill themselves and tear your truck up, too.
Yeah.
You know, they got them, they call them a hill, but the little mountain is what they are.
Everything I tell you.
Kershaw.
Yeah.
I believe around Kershaw, South Carolina.
I tell you, Cook is a good trader. And he knows, there's a lot he don't know, but he knows enough to look around for things.
Yeah.
And I don't need a machinery like you do, but my old tractor out there, it's wore out, that old Alex Thomas. It was wore out when I bought it, and I didn't know it. And if we could get him sort of halfway interested in it, you see, I'd pay him to look around for me.
That's right.
Because if I had his judgment, see, that'd help me the most.
Oh yeah.
Now you take a fellow like Willie. I think Willie probably knows more. He might even know more than Cookie. I don't know. It'd be hard. I wouldn't know. But see, Willie's got so much lead in his pants, he just can't move.
That's what it is. You said it then, you're out of
the doubt. He just can't move.
And his wife knows that's what it is, too. He don't want to do too much. None of them. Frankie the same way. If Frankie did, he'd be up on the cabinet shop or somewhere, you know, making $3 or $4 an hour. He wouldn't be working for Albert Zett out there, you know, $1 and a quarter hour.
For 2 or 3 days a week.
Yeah, 2 or 3 days a week. Let your mommy, you know, help him take care of his bill, in other words. And he got too many cows in his pasture, and he's getting too many.
Yeah.
And he's behind and won't pay his bill.
Yeah.
GP said he told him he'd give him a year for the hay that he got over yonder, in other words. But he still owes hay from over at that ranch. Come over in his truck, and Willie's truck, too. Both of them haul. And you say then, Willie said, well, he told me one thing he got over there, but they wanted to pick the bale. They wanted to get the hay behind my bale. My bale put up a square, decent sort of a bale.
Yeah.
In other words, what you call a uniform and a, well, it is such a thing as a 3-foot bale. That's a law. You're not supposed to have no, you know, 2.5-foot bale. And it's not supposed to be beat up on the end, look like a rabbit's nest at the end of it. And that's the way that other bale was doing, because it was a power takeoff, and he had the thing, you know, didn't have it timed right. You got to get your stroke right with one of these balers to make it go right. You got to go so many revolutions with your motor. You can't drive it too slow and bale hay with it.
Yeah.
I mean, do a decent job. Well, but if you pull a throttle down and you get the thing up, well, you can count them revolutions. They'll tell you how many revolutions you're supposed to make.
Yeah.
You can count them, in other words, on the baler. So many strokes, that thing is supposed to go that many strokes a minute.
Yeah.
And that motor on mine, it's timed at 1,700 RPM. It's timed to put it that way.
Yeah.
And if you overload it, why, governor give you a little more gas, well, it'll still go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
But with your tractor, in other words, it don't matter what you put it in, why, you still got to give it enough gas, you know, to make the motor, you know, give the strokes after every time it makes it. Because that motor, in other words, is turning up there, and you can't drive it too slow. You can drive it too fast. And he's driving it too fast, and it wasn't making the bale right. And Willie wanted to get behind mine. Well, I know it stacked better on his pickup, see? Frank had that old flat body head, and Willie had that old Chevrolet head. He got my new GMC now. He don't like it.
Yeah.
Everything wrong with it. Well, that's just his way. Well,
really?
I said, well, you still got your old one. I keep it. I got my old one right on.
You mean?
He
you
said,
mean
well,
that
what you gonna do with yours? I thought you were gonna get. I said, well, I'm talking about it, but I still got my eye on a diesel tractor.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give about $2,000 somewhere in my tractor and get me a diesel tractor. That's what I got my mind on. And
you mean that
but
you
that and Willie don't like it too much.
He don't like
no,
it.
No, he don't like it. There's a lot of things wrong with it. Well, I don't particularly like it either. But I didn't tell him so. It's his business, in other words.
Yeah.
He's got $3,000 tied up in a pickup. And
yeah.
That old one he had, you know, worth $300 or $400. Yeah. They said, I'd give him $300 or $400 for his, but he won't sell it.
Yeah.
He let Frankie use it. I don't know what kind of deal he got. I believe Willie still owned it. But Frankie ain't got no money to buy it from Willie.
No.
But Willie got a little bit of money, and if he hadn't, why, he can get some money. Civil making enough money to pay all the bills.
Yeah.
She's making about $400 better a month. Between $48,000 and $5,000 a year.
Well, now, where was that last year where they were getting your hay behind you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where was that?
I was over at GP's. I carried over and helped him over out that ranch.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they went over and picked up out of the field.
Out of the field, that's right. And they said, and what they said, they could have it, you know, for, you know, they pick it out in the field for $30 a ton.
Yeah.
And they weigh it or any way they wanted to, guess the weight or weigh so many bales, you know, and to get an average of it. Any way we wanted to do it, he really said it was all right with them.
Yeah.
I said, well, these people here, they're big people. I said, they haven't got time to go and follow you, you know, the way I pick up a load of hay and you have, you know, 25 or 40 bales of hay on it.
Yeah.
I said, they got something else to do. I said, best thing to do is weigh, you know, one out of every five bales. Out of a load, you know, weigh five or six bales and take an average, you know what. And nobody getting hurt too bad.
Oh, no.
If anything, if you get it from me, I'd rather give you two bales and let you be satisfied. Give you two extra bales, what it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Now, I've done that a few times behind me.
Yeah.
But mine was a cleaner bale, and the darkies, they all liked it, and said it was stacked better on them big trucks even than it would be our GP. Because it was lay, you know.
Well, he made the deal with GP.
Yeah, he made it with GP. And Willie's come on in and said that he went to pay him. Now, Willie, he had the cash to pay for here, but Frankie didn't, see?
Yeah.
And Willie, he wrote a check for here at $160, I believe, what he got.
Oh.
He gave him a check for $160.
Oh, he really...
And,
to feed them old bony cows.
Yeah. And Frankie didn't have it in money, but he was going to pay him, you know, when he sold a few calves. Well, he sold some calves and sold a cow, but come to find out, Frankie had borrowed the money from his boss man to get another automobile with. That Ford he had, there's something other wrong with it, and he had to get a little better car. So he had to get one of them Galaxy or Galaxy 500 jobs, in other words.
Oh, Frankie's got a new car?
No, it's not a new one, but it was a good second-hand one. But the one he had, the 57... Well, he's afraid it was going to give out on him, but
yeah.
he could spend a little money on it, just like that old pickup there. In other words, it ain't give out, it's still running. And I might drive another 100,000 miles, I don't know yet, according to how I get along financially. I'd like to have one of these $3,000 new.
Yeah.
But I said, old truck is still running, doing my work. But there's no use in me going and straining myself and over paying for nothing.
Let me tell you, Eric, Willie... I love to hear Willie talk
to him.
Yeah, he's
and good. Frankie's
all right too. And his mama and all of them good talk with him. Old Lehman, that Georgia boy out there.
Yeah.
You talk to him, old Lehman.
Yeah,
he's pretty good talker.
Margaret Chatters.
Yeah, Margaret. She
knows a lot of stuff, but she chatters. So
that's
much,
right.
Huh?
Yeah, she can't get it explained. I don't know what it is. Just,
it ain't quite as interesting, is it?
No. You got any ice water in there?
Yeah. You want some? You rather have that than coffee?
I believe I have tonight. Coffee, I got to get in. We got to go to work in the morning. It's just late before you know it, huh? Uh-oh. Good thing it wasn't glass, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that's right nice to have them things.
It is. That's it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them use them now, plastic. Yeah, Miss Rester, that girl dropped some the other day.
That's that Tupperware, isn't it? Does real well.
She dropped one on the floor down there, Louise Borks.
Well,
she said, where can I get some deal? I said, party got the deal and everything else to go with the deal. She said, has he? He got the cucumber too? I said, yes, ma'am. He got the whole way. And said, don't you have any? I said, my sister-in-law got five hills and I bet she picked five bushels already on five hills of cucumber. Darn the thing I've seen in my life. Of course, now at the end, they're not as pretty as what they were, you know, begin with.
Sure.
But I'll tell you right now, I'm five hill. They're getting a half a bushel of the picking. And they're picking them every day. They're picking them like zucchini squash. That's the truth. It sounds like a story. But you can ask them, they'll tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
But Carl Weiss says, I want you to bring me a few. I said, how many you want? He said, well, I don't know, five or six or seven or eight. But he said, I'm going to pay you 10 cents a piece for them. I said, no, you're not either.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to give you the cucumber. I said, brother got them up there. Sister-in-law done put up all the pickles you want to put up, you know, with
yeah.
Got the dill and some of the sweet pickle.
Yeah.
And I like that dill myself. What's called? She got the sweet dill and the sour. I like both of them. Just so it got the dill in it. And I'll eat the sweet pickle once
in
a while.
Who's the brains of the family over there? Is that Pardee or Miss Pardee?
Pardee.
In Cecil. He knows all. He
yeah.
knows that that vegetable
yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
doesn't
he? Yeah, he's making a little money out of it, too.
And he's done that all his life, off and on, hasn't
off
he?
Off and on, that's right. One time he wasn't waking me up down at Camp Bannon, got him a job, and the booger wouldn't pay me for his hauling, and he still owed me some money for riding. Got him a job, free of charge, didn't cost him nothing to get the job.
Yeah.
Hauled him up there, you know, he didn't have no money in his pocket to pay for the ride or nothing.
Yeah.
I think I bought his dinner a time or two. You know, you go to PX up there,
yeah.
he can just eat and go back, and he ate like a horse.
Yeah,
yeah, he'd eat up something.